Heroes of the Merchant Marine. Heroes of the Merchant Marine, the thrilling true stories of the men who are heroes aboard ship. A program salute to the men who serve and live for their country by sailing the world's seaways to deliver to our troops and allies the vital supplies of a victorious new world. Heroes of the Merchant Marine is a series of programs dedicated to America's brave merchant seamen, the everyday common men who are heroes every day they sail the pathways of the world. These are true stories, narrated by Ray Lewis and transcribed from the confidential files of the War Shipping Administration. Now for the stirring story of Edwin F. Cheney, here is Ray Lewis.
This is a story about a good guy, a very good guy, a fellow with a big heart and a warm smile, and lots of guts. He's the kind of guy you like as soon as you shake his hand. His smile seems to tell you that to him, friendship is much more than just, "Ooh, hello, how are you?" It's, "I'm here if you need me." And on a certain hellish night, this fellow was there when he was needed desperately. And because of his big and courageous heart, he's found himself cited by the President of the United States for heroism above and beyond the call of duty. His name is Lieutenant Edwin F. Cheney, but he likes to be called Ed. And this is his story. It was during the early phases of the war when the battles of Tunisia and the Atlantic raged side by side as fiery neighbors, when men were trapped and burned to death in the flaming waters of the Atlantic. Tank, foxhole, half-track, or plodding tanker, it made no difference. It was all the same war, and death lurked around the same corners wherever there was war and wherever there were Nazis. And once you left the east coast of the States, there was no safety. Ed Cheney was the quartermaster aboard the tanker SS John D. Gill, one of the many merchant ships that were loaded with much-needed lubricating oil and gasoline for the air and ground forces fighting in Africa. Just one of many tankers running the gauntlet of German submarine wolf packs, racing against time and fate, bearing a shipload of fuel for gas-hungry Allied engines, and enough gas and oil to seal the death warrants of every member of the crew if a Nazi torpedo ever hit home during that long trip across the choppy Atlantic. As quartermaster aboard the tanker, Ed Cheney was the friend of every one of the crew, for that was his job, attending to the needs of every man aboard. And no job was too small or too big for Ed, for he was a good guy, because Ed was everybody's friend. It just came natural to him. "I'm here if you need me" had always been his credo. And as quartermaster aboard the John D. Gill, his credo was his job and his duty. Good guy, Ed Cheney. It was night. 3 days and three nights out on the Atlantic, drawing closer to Africa with every turn of the propeller. So far, so good. No sign of wolf packs as yet. Uneventful trip, meaning no dull roar and searing seconds and the slap and gurgle of the box wave and some quiet conversation on the bridge and below deck. Just a routine trip so far. Just routine.
Submarine! Off the port beam!
The entire ship comes to life as if charged with a giant electric shock. The sub is only a few hundred yards away. He'd been following the John Gill all this time. He was ready for the kill. This is a race. A race against death. Sleek and thin, lurking out there in the darkness. This is it. Before you can say torpedo, the tanker is aflame. And the fuel that might have sped an army through Tunisia is blazing furiously. The SS John D. Gill is a mass of flames, and the sea is mad with burning oil.
Abandon ship! Abandon ship!
Set your men west! Man the lifeboat! Stand clear of the port rail! Abandon ship stations, everybody! Abandon ship!
The John D. Gill had caught its fish. A fish that gashed open its side so that the precious gas and oil could pour out over the surface of the sea in a furious blazing mass. The crew collected there by the rails and looked. All around them, there on the sea, were the thick, hungry flames. Orange, blue-tipped flames spreading out across the heaving sea and licking the side of the ship, waiting for the lifeboats. There was nothing else to do but lower the boats into the flaming sea. Lower the boats as the twisting, crazy orange light of the fire played on the terrified faces of the crew lowering the boats. And pray. There was nothing else to do. As the boats were being lowered, giving some men a decent chance at safety, there were at the same time men floundering among the flames on the sea. Men blown off the ship by the explosion. Men whose terrible cries reached Ed Cheney there at the ship's rail, about to get into one of the lifeboats. But those men were his pals, and he couldn't leave them floating around in the flames down there. He had a plan. He'd get them out of there. He grabbed a large air-filled life raft and jumped into the roaring sea. With a splash, he would snuff out the flames immediately around the raft, gasping desperately for air. Then he would push the raft along, pushing and shoving the large raft inch by inch, slowly making his way under the burning water, coming up only to splash out the flames again and gasp for another breath of smoky air, and then submerge below the flames to push the raft a little closer toward that space of clear blue water. The salt water stung his eyes and pierced and stabbed at the severe burns on his face and arms. He blinked again and again, trying to look about him through salt-needled eyes. And there he saw them, his crew members, his friends, helplessly floating in that sea of roaring flames. Ed Cheney dove from the raft and swam straight toward the blaze. He splashed out the licking fire as he made his way toward those struggling, gasping men in the sea.
Hold on, Frank. This way.
Ed.
It's this way.
Ed, the fire.
Beat the surface with the hand, Frank. Swim as hard as you can. Splash out the fire. Keep it away from him. Keep it away from him. That's the boy. That's the way. Keep coming. Keep coming. Hold on to me. Keep holding on to me.
Don't let me go.
That's the boy. We'll make it. Sure we will. Keep flashing out those flames.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Got it.
There's the life raft there.
Yeah.
That's the life raft. There's clear water. There's clear water, Frank. Clear water. Right here. Right here on the raft.
Help me up. Help.
Right up. That is it. Good boy. Good boy, Frank. There's Charlie out there, Frank. I've got to go get him.
Multiply this six times, and you know why Ed Cheney is a good guy. Six men drifting in a flaming sea were rescued by him. Four times he dove overboard from the raft and guided his buddies out of the burning water and into his raft. Each time the salt water stabbed with sharper needles and the burns on his face and arms cried out louder and louder. But each time there was a life to save, and Ed Cheney thought of nothing else except that he had friends out there.
After he had pulled the fourth man aboard the raft, he heard some cries coming from the center of that water inferno. Two more men were trapped, injured from the explosion and trapped in the flames. Two times more, Ed Cheney dove overboard and he pushed and pulled and shoved the helpless forms of his shipmates through the maddening blaze, splashing out the fire as best he could, gasping for hot air whenever possible. But he got them to the raft. Injured and burnt though they were safe. All six men were safe because of a certain good guy with a big heart, stored full of honest courage. Yes. Ed Cheney is a good man to have around. One day, a few months after that hellish night, Ed was told to come to Washington to meet a pretty important man who wanted to see him very much. Ed was resting up at the time. The burns had healed, and the good, clear air of his hometown, Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, had done wonders for him, soothing the sore spots in his throat and lungs where the hot, smoky air of that night had done their damage. Yes, Ed Cheney was all right by that time, and he put on his uniform and took the train for Washington. He was met at the station by some very important men with a lot of gold braid who treated him as a hero. And then they rode down Pennsylvania Avenue, went into the White House, were ushered into the most important room in the nation, stopped before a large, gadget-cluttered desk, and Franklin D. Roosevelt smiled a broad smile and shook Ed Cheney's hand with a firm grasp, put aside his long cigarette holder, and with his eyes shining with pride and admiration, he pinned on Ed's chest the first Merchant Marine Distinguished Service Medal ever to be presented. And these two men, one a lieutenant and the other a president, both well-versed in the ways of personal courage, both good friends to all men, listened as this citation was read that October afternoon in the White House.
The President of the United States takes pleasure in presenting the Merchant Marine Distinguished Service Medal to Edwin F. Cheney, Jr., Quartermaster, for heroism above and beyond the call of duty. During an enemy attack, he released and launched a life raft from a sinking and burning ship and maneuvered it through a pool of burning oil to clear water by swimming underwater, coming up only to breathe. Although he had incurred severe burns about the face and arms in this action, he then guided four of his shipmates to the raft and swam to and rescued two others who were injured and unable to help themselves. His extraordinary courage and disregard of his own safety in thus rescuing his shipmates will be an enduring inspiration to seamen of the United States Merchant Marine everywhere. For the President, signed Emory S. Land, Chairman.
Edwin Cheney, which you have just heard, was one in a series of Heroes of the Merchant Marine. Program salutes to our brave merchant seamen, as transcribed from the confidential files of the War Shipping Administration.